program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun with the ocean and mountain and sky.
Aloha, I'm Ori Kopelman with my co-host Cindy Paulus.
Aloha, how are you today, Ori?
Good. And we are here to talk about Mauitopia, and I first want to read a definition of that. Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no koi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future.
And you have a website, too, for that, right?
Mauitopia.org.
Great. Well, Ori's biography is probably on the website. Since you're driving a lot of you might be not able to look at it right now, but I'll tell you what Ori's biography is. Ori Kopelman has spent 25 years helping companies develop technology rapidly. He's lived on Maui for 20 years. He founded a management consulting firm in 1992 in Northern California. Global Brain taught clients worldwide QRPD, which is standing for quality, rapid product development methodology. This resulted in companies thriving through developing products in half the time, at half the cost, with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit. A former Silicon Valley executive as vice president of engineering, Ori helped Mountain Computer grow tenfold in 6 years to 500 employees. He taught at Stanford University's Continuing Studies Program at Berkeley Extension for 15 years. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical and Computer Engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Having grown up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and in Israel, Ori speaks English, Hebrew, German, and French. He was a high school state tennis doubles champion. Ori spent a decade with the Rotary Club of Maui and chaired the polling station for Kula in several elections. Ori has engaged in personal growth since 1990, including meditation, and believes in transformation through heightened awareness. He attends Grace and Unity churches on Maui and lives with his wife Sally and cats Eva and Calvin in Kahului.
Thank you, Cindy.
Yay.
And this week's Mauitopia show is called Almost Paradise, as many of us really appreciate living on Maui. While I'm known as a realistic optimist, even I know things are not perfect on Maui. Furthermore, I and others are convinced that creating Mauitopia will require a fresh politics. In today's show, I'd like to invite our callers to complain about either politics or other things on Maui or offer suggestions for improvements. At the end of the show, I'll decide on the best call and offer to buy the caller a lunch at a restaurant of their choice here on Maui.
And that started last week because we came up with the idea that people really, a lot of times, don't like to call in now unless they win something. And we were kind of half, I kind of half was joking. And then sure enough, we joked about having giving away a lunch with you. And indeed, someone did call in, and you did get to take that wonderful person to lunch. Where did you end up going?
I will end up going next week.
Oh, you're going next week.
I had to reschedule it because of my cold.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
As it turned out, she had a cold, too.
Oh, my.
Claudia, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a good idea.
Yeah, where are you going to go?
Thailand cuisine.
Thailand's good.
Yeah.
I like Thailand and Mai Mall.
Yes, exactly.
That's an excellent, excellent place to go.
I agree.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. I sometimes go there if I'm going to go to the movies, and I'll end up going there then, because that's got good food, very good
food. Very good food.
Well, that's no cheapie.
No.
So again,
today we'd like to invite callers to call in and give us either complaints about Maui or suggestions for improvement. And at the end of the show, I'll decide on the best caller. And
if you're the only caller, you win.
Yeah, and award them with a free lunch at a restaurant of their choice here on Maui.
Of their choice?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's a very good prize.
That can include Mama's Fish House or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you'll get people to call for that.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's excellent. So, and you know, okay, what do I have to complain? You know, I love Maui. I love it a lot. I don't like the lines at Costco.
That's a valid complaint.
I have really tried and tried to get around how you fight the crowds. And I mean, I kind of have a system. When you go in, you know, where after you get through the TV section, turn right there. Don't try to go down to where the pharmacy and turn right down that aisle. Everyone goes down that aisle. Okay.
Right.
So you can save half the time. This is my solution, because you have to come up with a solution. So you save half the time if you go down the right aisle closest to where you are when you turn right after the TVs. And then just go immediately with a focused integrative. Most people are going to the back. I go right down till I get to where the cakes are. Don't eat any of the cakes and stuff. Turn left, and then I go back to the section I usually want, which is where the fruits and the other stuff are. Once I go back, I do not go down those middle aisles because those are jam-packed. I go all the way to the end where the rice milk and some of the frozen stuff is in the back. Go down that and then go all the way around. At all costs, try to avoid that aisle that is right there in front of the section where you walk past the fresh fruit and vegetables and at the front, because they put people also serving stuff there, backs it up, and you know, without fail, someone just leaves their cart in the middle or stops to talk, and you don't have. And I mean, I tell you, I've tried all times a day. There's not even a way around it. It's just that you can't avoid the heavy traffic aisles. So that's my solution.
And that's your complaint about Maui.
And usually there's not as much of a line if you go back to where the TV section is. And
that's
most
true.
People stay at the section down by the pharmacy because that's the heavy aisle, and they just go straight down there. So usually the line at Costco is less if you go. And again, don't try to go down that aisle where the line is, because you can't even get through a lot of times. So cut straight back a few aisles back and then go down again by the TVs, and one of the aisles on that side back there is usually faster. So that's my solution.
Very nice.
Okay.
Gary, we're going to open the phone lines up for other people to call, and I'll give the phone number.
Is someone on?
That
light's on there.
Oh,
because you're using the other one. I got you. Okay.
So the phone number is 242-7800. Again, that's 242-7800, and the phone lines are open.
Yeah, things that you have some issues with about Maui and how they'd be fixed. I mean, I know things that come up a lot of times when I listen to the morning show, sometimes on the mayor's show and the Don show or the governor's show, is sometimes homelessness comes up as an issue quite a bit. You know,
right.
I hear people complain about homelessness. You know, I have a lot of people I hear that call to complain about how long it takes to get, permits.
Mm.
Permits through is a big issue,
right,
that I hear, you know, in the morning times.
Yeah, actually, I was on the list to get another water meter. I had 4.5 acres in Kula, and after 10 years, I pretty much gave up.
Well, you know what? I just did talk to the mayor this morning.
Yeah?
And they're going to start issuing permits again for upcountry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, too late
for
me.
So there's a solution. Yeah. Oh, you're not going to do that anymore, huh?
No, I sold my house.
Oh, you sold it?
Yeah, yeah.
Without the extra water meter.
Right.
So for less money.
I had the whole plan for a remodel plan, and I gave up on all that. I moved down here to Kahului.
And you didn't buy a place?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, but it is an issue, definitely. Definitely, definitely. I mean, I know many people in business, and some of them have had to wait quite a long time. Most people plan to open a business, and they usually, if it's their first business on Maui, it can be cut. Usually the estimate's 50% over-optimistic. I think we have someone on the line calling in here.
We do.
Aloha, Tom.
Aloha. How are you?
Good. How are
Hi,
you?
Tom.
Okay. I love Maui, but I have my only complaint really, well, there's several, but mostly minor, but my only major complaint is how the state has to make criminals out of everybody that drives a vehicle.
Hmm.
There's not one person I know of that does 45 on Mokulele, and
yeah.
if they do, they're a hazard to everyone's health.
That's a very good point, Tom. And I, you know what? I try to go. I really try, because I have to go over there. Sometimes I do weddings on McKenna, and I really try to never at least go over 49, because there seems to be a little wiggle room where you don't get it. I mean, there's no rule about it, but, you know, so, yeah, I know I'm breaking the rule, but I go like 49. People get so, so upset. They get on your tail,
right.
and then they go, even if you're in the slow lane, they get on your tail and then go around and usually cut you off, and, I mean, you could feel the anger. I mean, and so, yes, everyone usually goes, what is it, Tom, about, what do you see, 55 usually at least?
Well, everybody on Mokulele does 45. Everybody
at
on Pinulani Highway and
yeah.
PA does 50.
50 at least.
And
55
reason,
a lot.
I'm sorry?
55 a lot on
well,
Pinulani.
The only reason that Pinulani is 40 miles an hour is that the state doesn't have the money to build a noise wall along the Mackay side, so it has to keep the speed limit at 40.
Hmm.
Oh, I thought it was because that some were county parts and some were state parts and
no,
the
signal. Pinulani is a state highway.
It is all
other,
state.
Okay. Mokulele is a state highway.
Uh-huh.
Well, most of your other highways are county.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that how is 55 unsafe on Mokulele?
It's not really. And most people do go about 55, I see,
yes.
on that and on Pi'ilani. And it's
yeah.
really hard not to. I mean, you're almost in danger of having an accident happen if you are going the speed limit, because people get right on your tail if there's
yeah,
traffic.
But you know, the sad part is this is a common sense thing.
Yeah.
It's common sense that 45 is too slow for Mokulele. It's
yeah.
common sense that 40 is too slow for Pinulani Highway.
Yeah.
And if the government can't deal with common sense, what is going to happen if they have a real problem?
Well, no, this is, don't you think, Ori, this is a serious issue, and I think it bothers a lot of people, and it is true, we're all breaking the law pretty much. I mean, cause no one really, it's funny, I was driving back the other night, and someone really was going the speed limit going back on North Kihei, and the traffic was backed up about 15 cars, because they were following the speed limit, and everyone was getting mad, and it would be dangerous to pass on that North Kihei section, especially dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get 15 cars.
Years ago, when Mokulele was two lanes,
mm-hmm.
There was a mailman that would deliver. He was a contract mailman. I know I won't give his name, but he would, about 7:30 in the morning, but 7:20, he would hit Mokulele, and he would do 35 from Kihei to Kahului, to deliver the mail from Kihei to Kahului post office. He was probably the most dangerous man in Maui, because people would pass 10, 15, sometimes 20
yep.
cars just to pass this guy on that two-lane highway.
Yep, and they go really fast, and they're really angry, and they're not really watching what's going on, and it does get very dangerous, you know.
Right, so, I mean, it's just common sense, and another thing that's common sense is if you're going slow, get in the right lane.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's not even a solution, because I stay in the right lane, and they people still get mad.
They get on your tail.
They get right
yeah.
on your tail.
Okay, but if you're in the left lane, they have a right.
Yeah.
In the left right lane, they don't.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you.
Except they're breaking the law, but that's not our problem. Because basically, you know, I'd say, like you're saying, I'd say 90% of the people right now on anyone, raise your hand if you're driving on Pi'ilani or Mokulele, I bet you're breaking the law, you know.
About 90. I would say 99%, and the other 1% is a hazard.
You're right. I have to say most people are applauding you, right? Oh, no, that's dangerous. Don't applaud.
I don't normally call, but you came up with your pet peeve on Costco, and I tell you, I wish you hadn't told people that. That's my method. Now
is that oh, dear, I blew
you
it.
You guys are going to change all
I mean, you know, it's like telling them about the bypass behind Walmart. You know, don't
yeah.
use that, because I use it until everybody uses it.
Oh, no, I wish I'd thought of that. Now it's too late. The cat's out of the bag. I'll have to come up with another route.
But that's okay, because anything that gets traffic off Derry Road is a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, you know what? This is really, if you could solve this problem, Maury, you'd have a real major, you'd have a lot of people backing you if you could come up with that solution. And you
there
know what?
There is only one solution, what? And that is that the people in the government get their head out of their ass and get the speed limits where they belong.
Yeah, I know this comes up on, Don Couch has the transportation people.
Don Couch has nothing to do with Mokulele.
He doesn't, because that's county, and it's a state issue. Absolutely. You're right.
It's not a county issue. It's a state issue.
Yeah, exactly. And he can't do anything because he's county. So,
yeah, and,
so
but it's just something we're going to complain about because nobody's ever going to do anything about it.
So you came up with a very, very valid complaint and a very valid solution. And
yeah.
I think you have a really great chance of getting – where would you like to go to lunch if you're the winner here?
Well, it's been very nice talking to you all.
No, but seriously, where would you? Because we're gonna award someone like you, and I think you have a really good chance of winning. Someone's gonna get a free lunch. Where would you like to go?
I didn't even know there was a contest.
See, isn't that great, Tom? That's great, Ori. No, Tom. He said someone's gonna get a free lunch.
Yes, I announced it.
Oh, wonderful! I didn't think there was anything such as a free lunch anymore.
There is a free lunch, and it's here right now, and you could win it. So if you could go to lunch anywhere on the island, where would it be, Tom?
Oh my God! It would. I'm pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be Cafe Olé in Quillay.
I love Cafe Olé in
okay.
Quillay. Yeah, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
It's a great price.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I know nothing about coming. Cafe Olé is the best price for the best food for the price.
You're right. I totally agree. And you know what? Dana, who created that, she has the formula. She's an amazing woman. She was able to create.
They make a good team. I met both the husband and the wife, and the husband's smart enough to get out of her way.
Yeah, very good point. And not only that, the dishes, not only are they affordable, but they're delicious and healthy.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean?
And the best, I'm not going to tell you, well, I will. I've opened up the bag of worms. The best breakfast for the price on Maui is the dunes in Cafe Olé in Kahului.
That's a very good place. Well, of course you get all the golfers there, but yeah, no, that's also, I love the dunes.
Well, whatever. I didn't call to promote Cafe Olé, even though they deserve it.
No, but I think everyone's going to agree with you.
I called because I don't like being a criminal, but I have no choice.
I think it's so brilliant what you said. And on that note, just yesterday I was also thinking, you know, coming back at night, and you, if you're a visitor, you cannot see at all where you're supposed to go if you're trying to go to Lahaina or if you're trying to go to the airport. There should be a huge sign there saying, a huge sign for visitors, saying this way to the airport, that way to Lahaina, because you get to that one intersection, and if you've got a green light, you're going pretty fast, and people just don't know which way to go.
Well, I don't think you need a huge sign. I just think you need a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so
thank
much
you
for your
calling,
call, Tom.
Tom. We appreciate you listening. We'll let you know if you win. I think you will. Okay, that was a very good point.
Yes. Although I will give you a different point of view,
okay.
Which is that 30 years ago it was that I bought a brand new BMW,
mm-hmm.
and within 6 months I had 2 accidents and 2 traffic tickets. And at that point I decided I am going to drive the speed limit,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is. And I agree with Tom that many times it is unreasonable, especially the ones he talked about here on Maui.
Yeah.
But I've kind of capitulated to the fact that sometimes it will be unreasonable, and I owe it to society to drive the posted speed limit. And I used to even drive 10% over the speed limit.
Right.
Because
right.
I figured that you had that amount
of wiggle room,
right?
Yeah.
And my brother actually convinced me that that no longer is true. Because,
really? Because the radar?
Yeah, it's more accurate now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
they will stop you the same if you're just going over 3 or 4 miles over the speed limit?
Practically speaking, they probably won't.
Probably won't.
But you can't get out of a ticket by going 5 miles per hour over.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know anyone that's gotten a ticket for going.
For 5 over? No.
You know.
They usually ticket for 10 or 15.
I got one that's going true. 51 once on Pilani. We got another caller.
Yay.
Yes.
Aloha.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. No Kauai. Maui, no Kauai.
Yes, Maui is no Kauai. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kihei.
Ah, great. Love it. I was just down there last night eating at Fred's Mexican restaurant.
Oh, right.
So what do you have? What's your offering here? What's your complaint and solution?
I've got a good complaint. It's that we worked our whole lives to get a nice home here in a residential zone, and they started putting bed and breakfasts all over our street, and it's become like a hotel. Mm. And they've also put the pathway, a walking path that comes to the end of our street.
Oh my.
So we have everyone that takes walks comes to our street. It's like Grand Central Station.
Wow. And is that Central Maui, towards Central? Where part of Kihei are you in?
We're near the Kalama Park.
And so all of a sudden you've got all these cars also probably parking on the street for the bed and breakfast too, right?
People come there from all over because they've made it, yes, they've made a big commercialized street, and yet we're still zone residential.
Wow.
So we tried to, we got a petition, but it didn't help. The county didn't care.
This is a very good point, don't you think, Ori? I mean, this was actually an issue that brought down one, kind of was the key issue in bringing Alan Arakawa in at one point, I believe, because there were so many people who wanted bed and breakfast and vacation rentals, and then when it didn't, and when they were cracking down, actually tourism was going down, so they relaxed the standards. This is my, because I did a whole show on this with someone who's the head of the vacation rental thing. They relaxed the standards, now there's more, and this is what happens. This is the result of relaxing the standards. And I have another point on this that's an interesting, I think I never would have guessed. I know someone who has a vacation rental out in Huelo, and she was legal for a while, and now they relax the standards, and now she says her business has gone way down because there's so many more options of so many people doing it. So, I mean, it's kind of like, don't you think, though, it's kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I mean, what's your solution to this?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that it's really frustrating for us to have people coming from all over the place for a day or two, you know, the short term.
Yeah.
I can't explain how frustrating. I don't have a solution, I guess, except to change the county, because what happened was these people did an illegal bed and breakfast for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and we complained to the county, and instead they turned on us, all of them, and made us the bad guy, and gave them permission. Instead of charging them with a fine for all the years they were illegal, they came down on the people that protested it, and now they put them within each other. You know how they have a limit of so many yards away? Now they don't have that anymore. I see it. It's like every couple hundred feet, there's a new one popping up everywhere.
Wow. So if someone sees someone else making money at it, and they want to make money, so they just decide, well, if they're making money, we might as well make money too, right?
Yeah, it's always about money, isn't it?
It is. So why don't you make your place into a bed and breakfast?
We came here for peace and quiet. I'm a painter. I'm an artist, so I wanted it. It was a quiet street when we first moved here in 97, but
I have an idea. An idea just came to me, and I don't know the solution, and I totally have empathy for what you're saying. It would really probably drive me a little crazy. If I was on a street where I thought I'd have peace and quiet, and there was all of a sudden all this traffic and all this people, but you said you're an artist, and I love artists. I love supporting artists.
Uh-huh.
But you know, what if you go out and do some plein air, paint right outside, have a little paint sale for your artwork out in front, and let this traffic of people buy your artwork. I bet they would really, people love to buy local artwork. Whenever I visit anywhere, I always try to buy something that's a piece of artwork from a local artist. So if you had do a little table and have it out there, and you know, do your little art and have little cards egg and Chotsky you can buy for $10, because I only want to spend $10, and I bet you would clean up.
Maybe people will stop coming if we make it.
Well, maybe that's a solution.
Anyway, I appreciate you guys, your time and all that.
We need to get your name.
I think he got the
name.
Got
it.
Well, I think you brought up a really interesting point, and I'm glad you spoke up about this, because I've heard rumblings from people, and you're the first person I've actually heard speak up about it on the radio. And I'm really glad you called, because, I mean, maybe someone's listening and has one of those bed and breakfasts, and I know they're not gonna not do it because the money thing and greed thing is a huge factor. But, you know, even if they were just considerate, and we're able to back off and make some rules about times and spaces and parking and some of that, you know. I mean, you have a right to complain. I totally hear you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks
take
for
care.
The call.
All right.
Again, I'm Ori Kopelman, and this is the Mauitopia Radio Show, and we're talking about the fact that Maui is almost paradise. And we so far have gotten a couple complaints, one about Costco, one about the speed limits, and as we know, there's a lot of good things in Maui, too. So overall, there's a balance, and Gary is going to play our song for the break.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe there's always going to be a little trouble in paradise.
Maybe.
Because, you know.
But trouble is relative, too.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
I'll tell you, Cindy, I have to watch the news, of course, and I look at the situation in Ukraine and Russia.
I know, my gosh.
Thank God we don't have those kind of troubles.
I know.
You know?
Yes, and the weather alone. I think we have Mike on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful. What? Well, Mike, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, my major concern, you know, I live here all my life, and almost 50 years, and I have never left this island. I live here all my life. I've never been to the mainland. And I've seen the growth. I'm a plantation boy. I grew up in Wailuku-Shuga, and I grew up on a camp, and I've seen the land, the island change from very simple to very complicated. I mean, by meaning complication, by we the people, we make our own problems. Just like, for me, one of my major concerns, I love to go to Lahaina and, you know, just going down there, walking the beaches. But when I go down there, I always have a doubt that I wonder if I'm going to be stuck here in case there's an accident. They're going to shut down the road. And for years and years, everybody is procrastinating. The real subject to this is making the Lahaina bypass.
Right.
I mean, I know they're probably in the midst of working, but maybe they can build up funding faster and make this more realistically because, you know, at least make one lane for now. I mean, because everybody somehow on this island has been through a situation where they close the road and you're stuck and maybe you got to go to work. And it's been an ongoing problem for years and years. And they always talk about a solution, But for me, I look at it as, you know, development is the key to Maui, you know, the growth, healthy growth, I mean, like that. And a lot of developments like Ukumehame, Oluwalu, and all the way down, Lanipoku and everything, what they should have done was, with these developers, charge them a little kitty fee or some kind of percentage fee to put back into the system towards the Lahaina bypass, because any development cannot work unless there is flow. If you're going to keep on passing from Kapalua, even people building houses, more people moving on the west side, there is always going to be bottlenecking in that one section. And that's, to me, that's one way of generating revenue where if somebody wants to make like Oluwalu or something like that, they have to pay a little kitty fee, which is out of respect to make that development grow, just like you got to take care of infrastructure before you can develop.
Is that, do they do that, or is there a fee if there's new development? Or are they required to
do? Oh, I don't know, but I would suggest something like that. It's out
because
of respect.
That,
like,
well, yeah, I mean, you have a really valid point.
You're going to build, you're going to make a lot of money.
You got to make the way.
And yet you only add to the problem. And the people here, that the local people that live here, not the people that come from the mainland and come on vacation, the people that got to go to work, want to have time down the beach, it's always a problem for the people that live here because why? It's always going to be here. And the people come, they make this development, they make a lot of money, they dig out or they stay here or they live up on the hills in Kapalua. They don't really understand, but the people that got to transit every day, and it's like a kamikaze road over there.
Yeah, it
I mean,
is.
It's going to only grow and grow into this escalating problem. And then when they say, oh, now we get this thing solved, it's kind of like, wow, why we had to wait 20-something years? And, you know, you even look at, like, they put the windmills up on a hill. You know, I don't see nothing on my electric bill where I have 1% kickback towards alternative energy giving me a discount. You know, I always wanted to go up on those hills. Now I cannot. You know, just like anybody, like, walking and stuff like that.
You can't go up there? You can't go up there anymore?
Well, I don't think so because there's all the windmills up there.
Because I have a friend who goes walking up there. I don't know how they get there. Maybe they take a side trail, but I know
I have
a friend.
But I always thought that, out of respect, these developments, you know, they're making big money from Ukumihame all the way down to Lanipoku, to Kapalua, Honokoha. Everybody that builds now, they have to put something in a piggy bank. It all goes towards the Lahaina-Pali Highway, the bypass.
I know, that's such a valid point, you know, Ori, and you need Mike. Yeah, Mike, I stopped doing weddings in Lahaina about 5 years ago, and I lost most of my business because I always was going like an hour and a half early just in case. And you can't miss a wedding. And indeed, that happened to me one time because it got closed down. And it's the worst thing in the world when you know you're supposed to be somewhere doing a wedding and you can't get there. And one time coming back, I had to wait 3 hours because I couldn't get through. And I just finally said, I'm not going to do any more weddings in Lahaina. And I got dropped by, I got dropped by about six coordinators I work with because they do a lot of weddings up there. But I just couldn't handle that stress and the time. Because you don't get paid a lot for that. And then when you sit there in traffic waiting, you know, going and coming, it just, No, and I'm sure I feel for people who work up there in the hotels. And I know some people who live up in Kula.
I think what they should have done
Carolina.
Before they built the Kohoma bypass, which is, I think it's kind of crazy. They should have built the Lahaina bypass first. Then everything would be, you know, easier. You take care of something like that, which is a major task, what they did, but basically, to build the Lahaina bypass, I mean, if they don't do it now, they do it in 20-year time or 15-year time, the amount of money to make something like that is going to be so out of reach. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's just like the state not buying Lanai. It's like, they look at the cost. They're going to regret that one, too.
What do you think, out of curiosity, about the Paia mini bypass?
It's a good one. It works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something. You have to have some kind of positive solution or at least make an initiative to at least try something, to procrastinate. You know, I'll be real honest here. I live here all my life. And at one time, when I was a little boy back in the 70s, where they started to talk about the Lahaina bypass already, and the bypass, when I was a little boy, they was talking about going through EL Valley. But
I knew someone who was the old owner of the Koi Radio Group, Kirk Monroe. I don't know if you remember him. He also had a paper. He really wanted to do that. He was serious. He wanted to do the bypass. And I said, you can't. That's sacred ground.
Yeah, to me, that would be like really disrespectful.
Right.
No. Exactly. But that's how long they've been talking about making a solution.
Wow.
I mean, and look how long. It's been like 40-something years,
right.
and there's still an issue. Now they go, oh, okay, we built Kahoma site, or the river one in Lahaina. Oh, it's beautiful, and it's sooner or later we'll hit Lahaina Pali site. We'll line up everything, but for me, hit the major the main artery, which is the poly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how they. How are they going to do that with the way it is, though, with the cliffs and that rock there?
You know what? If the Japanese or people can build underground tunnels,
yeah,
with the technology that we have now, I mean, it is, it's unbelievable. People living up to 90 years old, no problem. I mean, with the technology, it's just not a problem, but just generating income. So I think, like, that's pretty much it. Sounds kind of like bossy, or you build, you got to put in a kitty, but that's only common sense.
Oh, I think absolutely you're right. And I have to say, sometimes, I don't know if they're still doing it, sometimes Pacific Whale Foundation has had a kind of, they do make it into a ferry, so if you get stuck, you can actually take a ferry up to get to the other side. I've known some people so desperate, they go back and they take, I knew a person that went back and went to the airport and took a plane over.
Wow.
Took a plane over because they had to be somewhere to come. But, you know, you think of all the people that missed their planes coming from Lahaina,
right,
because traffic
and
shut down.
I used to live Lahaina side.
Oh, did you?
And
I never would.
Yeah, and then I moved to the, Kula, actually, because
way better decision.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be stuck on the poly.
Yeah.
You know, I was flying from Maui every 2 weeks to go work somewhere in the world.
You can't miss a plane.
And the cost of missing a plane was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I wanted to bring up, not to pick up time, but one other thing that I think is a really waste of money is the county security patrol, the county ranger stuff.
You mean the DLNR are you talking
not
about?
Not the
no,
DLNR,
that's
but
state.
The county has a park ranger that goes around.
Oh, a park ranger. Oh, those. And so, but don't you think that's trying to keep the crime down with drugs?
No.
And
you know why? Because I look at it this way. They have no authorization to write citations, right, or arrest people.
Hmm. But
it's
usually the presence.
Security.
But the presence of someone sometimes. No.
The presence is this. We're losing a lot of money to that. They drive around like yo-yo all night, wasting our gas money. But the problems are still there, like homeless people, people lingering.
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of money.
Mm.
And the amount of vehicle and road time they did, to me, is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that. Seriously. The county parks are county parks. So we use the regular police department. We tell the mayor, get in touch with the police department. They do their beats. They're more capable of handling situations with people hanging around. They can arrest. They have the power and authority to do these things, especially like homeless people, you know, people that camp over there, put a big sign over there, no camping. Somebody in there camping, kick them out. The police has the authorization, the power to stop this kind of stuff.
I want to ask you a question, Mike,
yes,
because and this was this came up about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you saw this, Ori. There was a video that went viral of someone who had an iPhone, and I guess a local guy threw a rock on the beach there. I don't know if it's come up somewhere in Key, one of the beaches, threw a rock at a dog, and the person.
Oh, the Columbus! That was nasty.
What did you see that one?
I seen that on the that was nasty. That guy, see something like that, you just call a cop. Arrested.
Yeah. It was bad for everyone because it went viral.
That was sad because you know what? It makes us look real bad.
Yes.
And people like the tourists come here.
Yeah.
I always thought is the tourists come here, they generate money.
Yeah.
They sustain our 80% of all our livelihood is based on tourism.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so when
true.
People do something like that, they don't understand that they affect their own family. The jobs, people are not going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, because this thing go viral, people go, oh, man. And not, you know, people live like that. We're not like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I
mean,
can hear you're not
like
yeah, people are like you. People like you and everyone here I know is very caring. But every now and then someone like that, and if you get it on a YouTube video.
The guy should have just called the police.
Yeah.
Right, they arrested. Because the park ranger, like I said, is useless. She's going to go to, hey, guy, you cannot do this. They're going to go, what you going to do about it?
Yeah, no, you're right.
You're just a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
But if the police maybe can pick it up on the beats more, maybe periodically check those parks,
they
do an awesome job. The policemen, I mean, they do an awesome job. But I would rather see them police doing one park beat drive-through than a park ranger, which is just nothing.
Whatever happened, there was that wonderful group that Kihei Community Association was doing where they were making their own patrols for a while of people who were going along the beach.
You know what? We have a good one in Happy Valley.
Do you?
Yeah, well, a lot of the officers that they come and they donate time, and a lot of the officers once lived in the valley, and so now they're police officers and they're giving back. I mean, very much respect. When I see that kind of stuff, you know, they come and donate time, and you see them walking with the community people. You know, when you see presence of the policemen around, you know, crime go down. Because,
I agree. Yeah.
You know. There's a presence. I mean, police officers are not going to give you a talk and just stand up. If you do something stupid, they're going to arrest you.
Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Mike.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So, hey, what's your favorite restaurant? If you could go to a restaurant on the island, what would the favorite restaurant be that you'd go to?
You know, for me, honestly, I work 7 days and stuff like that. And,
wow.
I, you know, like I told the guy, I never call up for win anything. Like that.
Well, maybe it's time.
Nah, I just work, and I usually just work. I don't go out and eat and stuff like that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I think maybe it's time you get something. Oh.
Well, you guys have a very
beautiful
day.
Okay, well, thank you
for calling,
Mike. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Been a pleasure talking to you, too. Mahalo. Wow, what a sweet guy, huh?
Definitely.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's really sweet, yeah. I liked his attitude.
Me, too.
Yeah, very sweet. And, you know, it's so nice to get to really get another side because, you know, we're getting all kinds of different people from different walks of life in different areas. They live in different areas. So you're getting
right. –
and I have to say, every area of the island is so different that you have different issues on different sides of the island, right?
Right. Yes, and it's interesting because this guy has been here all his life.
50 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And works 7 days a week.
Wow.
7 days a week.
Which is one of my complaints for the general population is people work two or three jobs just to get by here on Maui.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about
so
it.
So when we say it's almost paradise, that would be one of the things that makes it not be paradise. Yes, Gary.
Yeah, Chuck.
Chuck? Oh. Is that Chuck?
Hi,
hey,
Chuck.
Aloha.
Hey, aloha, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Just working today before it starts to rain a little bit.
Is it going to be raining? I heard the rain may be coming back this weekend. Have you heard that?
Well, it's already drizzling on me down here in Kihei, so.
Already?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, my,
not heavy, but a little.
Oh, okay. So what do you think? What's your complaint?
I know the kid. I've known him since he was a little kid. And I think there's a broader issue that may be overlooking, that we're overlooking here, and that is that even here in Maui, there are people, the disenfranchised and the marginalized, that suffer from low ability for employment. I mean, he doesn't have a great education. He's marginalized in society. He suffers from homelessness. He gets frustrated because he sees these people coming that have everything that he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to justify his behavior. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Now, for the people, I'm sorry, Chuck, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second to explain because some people don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about the guy that was in the video? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the kid in the video.
Okay.
You know, and I've born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through that. I've gotten, you know, duke it out more than once in my life with the same kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have a population that's on the fringes that doesn't have access to good education or to a consistent home or the family struggles for whatever reason, it breeds a frustration. And, you know, when I see it in young men like that, it's a testament that there's broader issues in our society, even here on Maui.
That there's a problem.
That there's a problem.
Yeah.
That the community needs to address.
Mm-hmm.
I see an increase in homelessness. A lot of the guys I know that I used to work with, suddenly they're homeless or they've been homeless just for whatever reason. So, you know, not to justify his behavior, it's just that I understand the reasons that underlie that kind of behavior and that individually, as citizens, if we can reach out and help, you know, I'm not saying write checks or anything, just sometimes it's just, hey, you know, how you doing or whatever. Maybe the difference in one person's actions versus another.
Well, you know, you're coming from a very compassionate point of view, and I always have this. I try to always think of aloha because aloha is about that. So you're saying, how would you, if you were in that situation, how would you handle it to try to alleviate it? What would you have done?
That's interesting that you use the word aloha because aloha is many things. It's what's in you. So in a way, that kid was giving you his aloha because that's what's in him.
Hmm.
That's who he is. That's how he's feeling. That's his aloha. So, you know, to respond to that in kind is not going to solve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a response that's equal to, but on a different polarity, if you understand what I mean.
Stand
up to the guy and tell him to calm down,
mm-hmm.
but not be intimidated by his behavior, because that seems to fuel the fire.
If you had said that to him, just say he was right there, and you said, hey, listen, I understand where you're coming from, man. You know, try to calm down. And what if he pushed you or something? At that point, what would you do?
Personally, I'm an intimidating figure, so
okay.
I doubt it.
Okay.
But for lesser people, then, you know, you call the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, you give them an option. You've got to reach out, and if it doesn't, that's what the police are for. And I have to echo this caller's sentiment that I think that the Maui County Police Department does a fabulous job. I have cousins on the force for years, and they work hard. And I know that sometimes people get all the cops a bad rap, but I don't think that's fair. I think they've got a difficult job, and they do the best they can. And I've seen them do really good community work down here in TA.
You know, and just for an example for about what you're saying, they are dealing with people like that and even much more dangerous situations.
Absolutely.
Many times they have to go into the domestic violence homes where there may be guns or there's very violent tempers, and they have to go into that situation daily.
Nobody ever calls a cop and says, hey, we're having a good time.
Yeah, right.
that's a very good point. You know,
yeah.
And you know, it's funny because I was just thinking about this today, because basically I've always said to Ori here, you know, yeah, it's wonderful to have Mauitopia, but there's always going to be, how do you deal with the other side? Because there is the other side. And if you can't deal with the other side, then you are really living in a dream world, because there is that other side.
There is. Part of reality.
And it's hard dealing with that, the other side of it, right?
And the other thing we don't see is what happened prior to that event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I imagine there had to have been something that led to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just that guy on the video suddenly responding. There had to have been a series of escalations that led to that. Because knowing the kid, as I do, which is not on a personal level, but on an acquaintance level, and his family,
mm-hmm.
I know that he typically doesn't behave that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm wondering what's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say.
Uh-huh.
Well, also sometimes if you have a drink or a couple beers or something,
well,
sometimes you can not act the way you normally act, too.
Indeed.
Yeah, but you know what? You brought up a really interesting point, and I appreciate that. I mean, it's so easy to say, gosh, that's terrible, this guy, and everyone immediately does that. But here, you know the person, and so this person's had to be the subject of everyone's criticism, right?
Sure.
And it's got to be really hard for his family and him, right?
Absolutely.
Interesting. How is he reacting to it?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Interesting.
But I've seen his aunts. And his mom, and, you know, I don't push the issue because I know that they're having to deal with it, so.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
Like I said, I'm not justifying his behavior.
Yeah.
He acted wrongly.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason, you're saying there's a reason, why it happened.
And there's a lot of social pressures on
mm-hmm.
people of low income that are homeless or suffer from homeless or have that occasional homelessness and lack of job opportunity. Because it's the minimum wage, you can't live on that.
Well, there's another issue that really, I think, as you're saying in some way, too, is there's a lot of anger out there about people who, and sometimes local, and sometimes not, but I see a lot of times local people have a lot of anger issues about everything as far as what you're saying, jobs or having to have two jobs or things that are going on.
Sure.
And I used to live out in Huelo where there was a guy who used to take guns to people coming down the road who did live in million-dollar houses because he was a veteran and he'd done drugs. And he literally he finally got put in jail because he was taking guns to people who were coming down the road. Yeah. And you know, so, and his dad was as sweet a person as you'd ever have.
Sure.
But, you know, but here he was, and he had gone to, you know, he's a veteran of the war and on drugs, and people were coming down into the million-dollar homes, and he didn't live in a million-dollar home, and he had a lot of anger. I mean, huge amount of anger, to the point where he's in jail, or he was in jail. But you know, there is a lot of that out there, and we don't always see it, and it's interesting, because now we have more bed and breakfasts in some of these areas we didn't have before. People are seeing, they're going out there, and they're thinking it's paradise, and all of a sudden they see a guy with a gun.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is Aloha. You know, but it did indeed happen, and it is an issue. So,
well, hey, thanks for your time. I always enjoy the show.
Thank you so
thank
much
you
for calling. We appreciate that.
Let me, in the few minutes we have left, I want to talk about why it is that I'm running for mayor. And that is that I would like to see, my platform is to see a county that is led by an efficient and effective county government run like a business. for example, on permits, there would be a deadline for how long the county would have to give you a permit. Promote individuals earning their living by doing what they love to do and thereby serving the community and the world. Number three, encourage home-based businesses to facilitate raising children. Number four, put an end to crime so we can all feel safe and allow our creativity to blossom. Number five, make smart decisions for now and long term. Number six, value every member of our society, including the disabled and our hopefully gracefully aging senior citizens who now live longer and can actively contribute to our society. And number seven, promote an exclusive society inclusive of everyone that models the society of the future as we create Mauitopia.
Well, this has been a very interesting show. You're going to have a hard time picking the winner.
Yeah, I know.
How are you going to do that? I'm glad I don't have to pick the winner of who's going to go to lunch. You had a lot of really interesting, very, very real points there.
Gary, do you have all the phone numbers and names?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
What are you going to say? It's your choice, Ori. You're the one that's bringing out your credit card on this one. It's a good thing you made all that money in the tech field. What do you think? We're going to put you on the spot.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one.
I know it is.
They were all good calls.
They were all good calls. You should take them all to lunch. No? Okay. Are you going to just pick one randomly, or are you going to pick one? He's thinking.
Yes, I am.
I know. You can't think on the air because people can't hear your thoughts.
No.
What do you say?
I think we'll go with the first caller.
Okay.
That was Tom.
Tom. Okay, Tom, you're going to lunch. Who said there's no free lunch?
That's right. That's in at NASA, they say there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah, they say that in many places. But Tom just got a free lunch of his choice, too.
Correct.
All right. Well, hey, this hour flew by. We're going to have to do this again sometime. Ori, I think we finally found something that people like to call in about.
Absolutely. And I'm Ori Kopelman with my co-host Cindy Paulus, knowing that Maui is almost paradise and will be once we create Mauitopia here on Maui.
Or Aloha-topia.
Aloha-topia.
Well, that's about all the time we have, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, well, until next week, aloha.
Aloha.
I was drawn to a place in the sun where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui Man, where the upcountry slides to the sea and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies under stars at night. He touched my hand, Maui Man. Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Balancing, dancing, precision on the crest of a swell. Laughing with wild abandon, paradise child, and fighting to maintain this beautiful island from ones who'd make it hell.
With today's island news headlines, I'm Gary Forsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. Continued slowing in the state's visitor industry has prompted tourism officials to downgrade this year's visitor arrivals goal to 8.4 million tourists and its spending target.